time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. Cool, I got the printer all hooked up finally. Miss Liz brought me something in that printed. Been working on this for about 6 months now. Got her did. All right, let's check out some weather. Elk City, you done it 2 days in a row. You are the warmest spot in Oklahoma at 68 degrees, according to the Oklahoma Mesonet, 63 at Hollis, Capital, Harmon County, 63 at Cheyenne, 65 at Arnett, 64 at Slapout, 61 degrees at the May Ranch, 59 at Lahoma, and 64 in Bessie. Out here in the Panhandle, Texas, 63 at Lipscomb, 67 at Dozer, 65 at Wellington, and 62 degrees at Odell. Anyway, oh man, the cattle market. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to the last 2 days, but anyway, pretty nice what's going on there. First of all, let's see what happened overnight in our farm belt. Grain futures were lower in overnight trading amid ample global supplies. World wheat inventories at the end of 23-24 marketing year that ends on May 31st is forecast at 260 million metric tons, according to the USDA. That's up from the previous outlook of 258.2 million tons. Russian wheat production is now seen by an agriculture market research firm called Sovacon at 92.2 million metric tons, up from the prior forecast of 91.3. If realized, this would be an above average crop, leaving Russian with huge stocks. Argentina's ag ministry said Friday it will now be allowed to ship wheat to China, a move it's called an important step for Argentina exports. In the U.S., meanwhile, ample rain has fallen in much of the southern plains and eastern Midwest, where hard red winter wheat and soft red winter wheat respectively are dormant for the winter. According to the National Weather Service precipitation page, the moisture has likely improved crop prospects for overwintering plants. So I guess what they're saying in this report here, they're going to probably more than likely dock us because we finally got rain and got a good crop. Wheat for March delivery dropped 7.25 cents to $5.86 and a quarter cents a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. And overnight also, Kansas City futures lost 5.5 cents to $6.12 and three quarter cents a bushel. Corn futures declined 3 cents to 437 and a quarter a bushel. Soybean futures for March delivery fell 1.5 cents to 1192 and 3 quarter a bushel. Soy meal was up $1.60 to $355.90 a short ton. And soy oil lost 0.36 cents to 45.19 cents a pound. Inspections of soybeans and wheat for export declined in the week through January the 25th. While corn assessments improved, according to the data from the United States Department of Agriculture. Soybean inspections last week were reported at 889,717 metric tons, down from 1.18 million a week earlier. That's also down from the 1.93 million tons examined the same week a year earlier. Wheat assessments come in at 264,666 tons. That's down from 315,000 tons the previous week and well below the 446,000 tons inspected at the same point in 2023. Corn inspections, meanwhile, went up to 901,958 tons, and that's up from 746,000 tons the week before and 544,000 tons same point last year. Since the start of the marketing year on September 1st, the USDA has inspected 15.6 million metric tons of corn for export, That's up from 12.1 million last year. Soybean inspections since beginning of September now stand at 27.7 million tons, down from 36.2 last year. Examinations of wheat for offshore deliveries since the start of the grain marketing year on June 1st is now at 11 million tons, and that's down from 13.2 million tons assessed at this point a year ago. Weather in our farm belt, snow, ice, and freezing rain is making roads slippery this morning in parts of lower Michigan and northern Indiana. According to the National Weather Service, flooding is also a concern in the area and is expected to continue into the night. The snow and rain likely will cause minor travel disruptions. In central and southern Indiana, a wintry mix is forecast for this morning before turning to rain this afternoon. I know one thing. Our weather is great, even though it's a little unusual for the end of January. But, you know, we'll take it. It hasn't been the most wintry winter, I don't think, anyway. I'm glad it picked this week because the cows should finish calving up this week. But I don't know. It's kind of weird, and I don't know if it's going to hurt or help. They said up north where the snow is covering like the winter crops up there, which protects it, is not a good thing for it to get this warm and melt some of that snow and takes away from protection, because it is end of January, and you guys know as well as I do, winter is far from over. We'll see what happens. Let's do an update on the market. Man. Anyway, corn, March, 446, up 6. May, 456, up 6. Soybeans for March, 1210, up 16. May is 1220, up 15. Soybean meal, March, 360.60 a short ton, up $6.30. May is 358.20, up 520. Soybean oil is for March, 45.99, up 44. May is 46.56, up 39. See what winter wheat's doing. Hard red winter wheat, March, 6.29, up 11. May is 6.27, up 8. Well, come on, cotton. Yep, cotton's in the green. I hadn't even looked at this yet. March cotton, 84.71, up 45. May, 85.93, up 36. And then we have oil. Check it out. March, West Texas Intermediate oil is up $1.14 at 77.92 for March. And then natural gas is up a little bit. March is 207, up 2. And then it looks like, kind of like yesterday, the Dow is up in the green a little bit, and S&P, the Nasdaq's in the red. All right, let's see what's happening with the cattle. It's crazy what's going on with cattle. I think the weather's changing just as quick as the cattle are. February live cattle, 177.65, up 27. April, 181.35, up 12. June, 178.72, up 25. Feeder cattle for March, 240.55, up $1.92. April, 246, even, up 140. May, 251.22, up 117. August, feeders, 265.97, up 92. Lean hogs are up again today. February, 75.97, up 70. April, 85.45, up 202. May, 89.25, up 120. So there you have it. I did get a text from Miss Linda Lucas this morning, and I hadn't checked the Mezzan app, but I checked my phone app, and they basically kind of took the rain out of the forecast for the most part coming up this weekend, when they were predicting an inch to an inch and a half yesterday. So I don't know. We'll see what, check it out here real quick, see what it's saying about a forecast and local regional. Let's see, for Hollis, Friday night. Yeah, I mean, Friday night there's a 40% chance of rain like in Hollis, but Saturday is mostly sunny now, and so is Sunday. So I don't know where the rain went, so we'll figure that out sometime this week. Well, let me see. Let's go ahead and take a Stockman's Vet Clinic happy hour break. And when I come back, I'll see if I can get a hold of Brandon Hickey and ask him what the heck he was doing over at Clinton yesterday with those prices off the roof. So anyway, we'll see what happens. But we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, January 29th. 2,463 head were sold. 12 head of steers at 490 brought 332. 15 at 531 brought 326. 7 at 565 brought 297. 9 at 664 brought 258.50. 6 at 782 brought 233. 10 at 951 brought 216. 8 at 989 brought 216. 7 head of heifers at 464 brought 283. 9 at 538 brought 255. 5 at 596 brought 236. 9 at 784 brought 214. 19 at 814 brought 211. Butcher cows were 30 to 119. Butcher bulls brought in 79 to 130. Pairs brought 2,050 to 2,225. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma, has dedicated their life to supporting your farm's success because farming is their way of life. Their superior high-pro feeds are expertly formulated to meet the nutritional needs of your livestock. They provide bulk feed delivery straight to your farm, or for smaller quantities, they offer a variety of feed bags and sacks in different sizes. When it comes to your livestock feed, choose excellence. Choose Hobart Farm and Garden.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind.
I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Calling all rural residents of Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Are you tired of hauling off your own trash? Call D&G Trash Hauling. They can have a dumpster delivered to you in no time. D&G offers weekly or bi-weekly pickup in four different size dumpsters. You have a big job? D&G also has roll-offs available in several sizes. With D&G, you find affordable rates and no contracts. Satisfaction is always top priority. For more information, call D&G at 580-497-6950. That's 580-497-6950. Let D&G Trash get rid of your trash.
Get better beef bulls at an affordable price. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 2nd at 12:30. Selling 90 yearling and 18-month-old bulls and 20 commercial bred heifers. They've got DNA test data, birth, weaning, and yearling data, and ultrasound data. They've been feed efficiency tested on the GrowSafe system. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 2nd at 12:30 p.m. on County Road 2150 near Foss. Get information at davisangus.com or go to Facebook and search Davis Angus.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. I did get a hold of Brandon, or he got back a hold of me because he's at the ranch. Let's check out Wellington's ag weather update real quick. 65 degrees at Wellington, humidity's 37, winds are calm. Month-to-date precipitation, 1.51 inches of rain. Of course, no red flag or sub-freezing minutes today. 8-inch soil temperature is 44 degrees. She's warming up nicely. The green's going to start coming out in the wheat here pretty quick. Well, on the phone with me right now is Mr. Brandon Hickey. And Brandon, you have a couple of really good sales here in the last 3 or 4 days.
Yes, sir. The absolute definition of on fire Friday and Monday for sure.
I was yesterday when I had Linda on here talking about the Aubrey bull sale coming up at Cheyenne, and before the show started, I think it was up like 150 or 175, I don't remember, and about 15 minutes into my show, it was down that much, and by the time the show was over, it was up twice that much. So yeah. I'll be honest with you, I was kind of dizzy. So,
yeah.
Well, let's start with Elk City. I stopped by there, and I got the privilege of seeing some three weights bring over $4. Wow.
Yep. Yeah, when we had a good offering of those three-weight calves, at boys and girls both, the lightweight boys over four and the lightweight girls over three, and, I mean, lots of bitter, lots of activity, lots of action just to, you know, just wanting the cattle to turn out. And, I mean, we hadn't even seen any sunshine yet on Friday, and I was surprised that it was thatched out because it was still pretty dadgum dreary on Friday. But boy, they were anticipating that sunshine, I guess, because they were after them lightweight calves. And then, of course, the calves with condition, the calves ready to turn right out. That good weaning on them. I mean, there was lots of activity. I mean, lots of buyer interest for sure.
Yeah, I overheard a couple guys at the round table this morning saying that they'd give quite a bit more for ones at lightweights like that that's ready to go on the pasture right now. They ain't going to hesitate to give $10 more plus for some weaned ready to go one on out there.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the four and five weights were, well, I guess they all sold good, it looks like. I mean, here's some 24 head from Elk City, weighing 700, brought 234.50. I'll take that all day long.
Yes, sir. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Just good cattle are easy to sell right now. I mean, they're after them. They know we're going to get short. I think this thing on these big cattle is just going to keep climbing up for another couple of weeks, and we may see it level off just a little bit. I mean, I think we may have enough wheat pasture cattle coming in the month of March that, you know, we may bottleneck it just a little bit there in March, but not anything like what we've seen in the past. We might bottleneck it just a little bit there when we get into the, you know, first, second, third week of March, but I think we're just going to drift up steadily until then. Barring anything weird happening, we should just kind of see this thing get a little bit better and a little bit better. And like I say, may level off. We get a little bit of a bottleneck in March. We get a lot of, there's a lot of, not very much from Elk City West, but there's a lot of good wheat pasture from Elk City South and Elk City East in places a lot of cattle turned out. And the guys that's going to need to come off of that for their crop insurance that are planning on baling or grazing that, or excuse me, haying or graining that stuff are going to have to start coming off it. That may bottleneck it just a little bit, but not anything like what we've seen it do before. But it's just not the numbers out there to do it.
Right, and then we got the big report coming out tomorrow. Actually, I thought maybe the way it was acting yesterday around showtime that somebody leaked it out is what I was thinking. And so, you know, they pulled that stunt before here not too long ago.
Yeah.
And anyway, you think I report tomorrow? From what I'm reading, it's saying really nothing's going to be surprising tomorrow.
Yeah, I think they've pretty well got this thing figured in. I mean, I think it's already figured into our board. I don't think it's going to have a lot of effect. I think it's going to be what most people expect. We're sure going to look. Sure looks like that. What Dr. Peel's been saying, you know, we're sure going to prolong this. These higher prices, because there's sure, from what I'm seeing, there's sure not any heifer retention going on much at all. We have some really, really nice mama cow making kind of 8 and 9 weight heifers yesterday at Western Oklahoma, and the jumping off price on them things is up there getting close to that $1,800 for the first cost on them things. So that's makes a guy maybe not want to jump out there and spend that much money on a heifer that's not even been bred yet.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, because they've been steadily coming up, and we talked about it last fall on the show. You know, if you're looking for some, now's time to get some. And about $300 or $400 a head later, it may be time to think what you're doing now.
Yes, sir.
Well, it looks like the cow-calf or the cow-pairs and the bred cows, they look like they were up a little bit if they was good in quality.
Yeah, we're not seeing very many young ones at all right now. So that's, you know, what we're seeing is just small groups, you know, 1, 2, 3 head groups of young cows, and they're still very, very much in demand. Not seeing any groups of pairs or groups of, you know, nice packages of bred cows or pairs at all at either place. And so, you know, I'd be interested to see if we did have some, what they might bring. And we're supposed to possibly have some at Elk City this week coming out of Kansas, some nice 4 to 6 year old heavy bred cows. We haven't got that fully confirmed yet, but we think we're going to have a load of them coming in this week. So maybe we'll get a good test on what some sure enough pretty bred cows, a package of them sure enough might bring. But you know, when just the singles and doubles are bringing up there to 2,300, you know, there's lots of interest and lots of people looking for them. And I've had a lot of calls of people looking for young cows, but they're hard to find. There's just not very many of them out there available.
Yep. Well, on over down, let's go east down I-40 over there east of Clinton. And you had a good run yesterday, almost 2,500 head. And when you sent that in last night, I sent you a text back, holy cow. And so it got you had some nice groups at that one big group of the 754s from Carnegie. They sold really good.
Yes, they did, and maybe the group that amazed me the most is that the cabinists was there. Clinton have a really, really nice program and have really, really nice cattle, but they didn't have a lot of pasture for them this year to really get them big and pretty. But so the quality and the condition was there, and you know those 621-pound steers at almost $3. So they came in over $1,800 a head on them rascals, and that buyer was just tickled to death to get that kind of quality with that kind of condition, because that doesn't always happen this time of year. You know, those cattle are going to go right on to grass, and he was tickled to death to get that quality and that condition. But and he was darn sure willing to pay for it. There was a really nice set of calves and really brought some money.
Yeah, and you had some big groups over there yesterday. I'm looking 60, 61, 61, 30, 82, and you probably had some more that wasn't wrote down on here, but they were just, I was just shocked. There were some 800-pounders bringing 234, some 750-pounders bringing 236, and then, like you said, those ones from Cabinets almost brought $3, weighing 621. But you know what's crazy? There wasn't a lot of difference in the girls and the boys. The girls were right on up there.
Yeah. Everything there yesterday, with exception of maybe the 3-weight girls, was really up on the top shelf. Weaned cattle, like we already talked about, sure enough, bringing a premium for them cattle that they can just turn right on out and not have to worry about them balling and looking for mama. And mostly that's what we had yesterday. Very, very few unweaned calves at all yesterday. And so when they can come and put that kind of numbers together on that many different weight classes, boy, I mean, it makes for an easy day for me to have that much quality and that kind of numbers. And you know, when you got the buyers that are just begging for them, to be able to have that to offer to them yesterday sure makes an easy day for me.
So maybe we got some people listening out there right now that's like, oh, I got to get stuff in. It ain't going to be near as muddy this week, so you have no excuse of not being able to load them in the trailers and get them to the sale barn. So,
yeah. Yes, sir.
I know. I was talking to my father-in-law up by Billings, and his nephew, they just ain't been able to get in there. And that's a little different soil up in that area, but they just not been able to get back in there and get stuff loaded up and headed to the sale barn. So that's been a problem.
Yeah, we had several cancellations at Elk City for that very reason there last Friday, that, you know, they just couldn't get them there. Just a little bit too wet, a little bit too sloppy, and just didn't feel like they could get them there. But the way it's looking right now with the sunshine, you know, a lot of times that waiting a week does never make you money, but this particular time it sure might, with the, because the sunshine's a shining, and just like you said, that week's going to go to getting green and pretty, and people are going to go to thinking about grass. And I mean, boy, howdy, the sub-moisture we've got built up to start our spring grass coming this spring is awesome.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure the fertilizer guys aren't even answering their phone right now. They were like, oh no, not another one. Anyway, but there's good. Yep. Well, so what, if besides the ones possibly from Kansas, what do you got coming into Elk City? And then what do you have, you know, anything you got coming into Western Oklahoma?
You bet. I've got we've got about 5 or 6 50 to 100 head groups of calves coming in. Most of them calves going to be weighing in the fives and sixes. There'll be some lighter ones, but the biggest bunches are probably going to be weighing in the fives and sixes. A lot of them weaned. The biggest majority of them are weaned, but we do have some unweaned calves coming in as well. Should have a really nice run this week there at Elk City. And then Monday at Western Oklahoma, I've got 66 feeder heifers coming from over at Cheyenne, be homegrown, home-raised, blacks and reds. Black reds, a few red baldies would be sure enough pretty nice, probably weighing in the upper sevens. And then got a really nice deal of black calves coming in from up at Crawford, up by the Antelope Hills, coming in off of a family that are going to be long weaned, probably mostly 6-weight calves. So we've got two good, really good runs starting to line up again, and a little bit surprised to see the numbers stay as good as they have. You know, with the way we're down, but we're, you know, people are seeing these prices and coming on in with them, and you know, we're glad to see it, glad to have them to sell for the people, glad they're trusting us with their marketing needs.
Yes, sir. Well, Brandon, I know you're busy and you're up the ranch and you're probably chomping at the bit to get something done, so I'm going to let you get after it.
I appreciate it. Hey, just a quick shout out to the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Exec Committee. After a couple of meetings with the Oklahoma Livestock Marketing Association, they did remove their name from the issue we talked about last week of trying to get the EID pushed down our throats in a couple of years. And Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Exec Committee came through and removed their sponsorship of that. So a big thank you out to them today. We appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. And sometime in the next week or two, we're going to have the executive vice president of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association and the executive head cheese from the Elk City and Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction guru all on the show at the same time, so we can make some, just bring up some points of awareness of what could happen and how it affects every person from the cow-calf operator to the all the way up to the sale barn operator. So I think it's going to be pretty interesting when we get both of you guys together.
Yes, sir. Look forward to it.
All right. Have a great day, Brandon. We'll see you Friday.
Appreciate it, Jimmy.
All right, bye. All right. There we go. How about that? Man, it's looking good, everybody. The market is great, and hope something doesn't somebody doesn't say something stupid on the markets to change it, but it looks pretty good right now. Stockman's Veterinary Clinic. As the winter has arrived, we would like to take a moment to remind all of our producers, even though we're 70 degrees today, don't take that, just enjoy it because winter's not over, to remind all their producers, clients, friends to remain safe while tending to livestock and their needs. Plan ahead in order to intervene in any calving difficulties that may arise. A quick action, if needed, can make a difference. We often must feed and check cattle alone. And these extreme wind chills take time to let someone know where you are and check in often. An unfortunate accident in these temperatures can be deadly. Lastly, remember the water is a vital nutrient for our animals and ourselves, especially in the winter. Stay safe. We appreciate all that you do to provide for your pets and livestock. We are here to help when you need us. Call Stockman's Vet Clinic at 580-225-0200. I know what I've decided this year. Tagging is just going to wait. I'm going to get them in the lot, take the time, separate the babies from their mamas, and pair them up that way. I twice now, or three times actually. One time under the truck, and two times I've had to lay down and cover up with the calf because the mama just not appreciated me messing with her baby. So I'm done. I'm just going to tag them in the lot. The heck with it. It ain't worth it to me. It takes too long to heal. I know I'm only 62 years old and I can still catch him and tag him. It just ain't worth it to do it when mama's got an attitude. So anyway, attitude, I don't blame them. It's her baby. Come on. Anyway, let's take a Stockman's Vet Clinic break. When we come back, we're going to talk about hay, because today is Hay Day Tuesday. Got a couple updates on that, and then we'll go from there.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806-665-06.
Did you know, according to the 23-24 winter predictions from the Farmer's Almanac, Oklahoma can expect snow and lots of it. But the fun doesn't end with just the snow. Oklahoma's in a dose for seasonably cold weather as well. And you know what that means. That could be ice, that could be snow, that could be rain. You never know in Oklahoma. You could be sitting in your warm home, cuddled up, watching the football game, and the next thing you hear is the creaking and the cracking outside, and all of a sudden the tree falls. Next thing you know, the power is out. The scene changes really quick. You start thinking about heat, frozen pipes, food ruining, and how long will it be before the power's on? Preparing for this winter could be the best thing you've ever done. Get ready with the Generac generator from Culver Electric. You'll be able to relax and have peace of mind knowing that when the time comes, you'll have power. And did you know that Culver Electric has financing options available? Call and ask Sean at Culver Electric in Elk City about getting financed and finally installing that Generac generator you've always wanted. Culver Electric. Keeping the power and the lights on.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's go with Alba for your forecast ag weather update in the northwest part of the state. 61 degrees at Alba, dew point's 42, humidity's 49. The winds are out of the northeast at 3 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 0.28 inches. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 40 degrees. Fractional water 1 day, 10 inch. One sunset at 5:57. Sunny high 68 today. Low of 36 tonight. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 71 degrees with no winds. How about that? Enjoy this week. It's very rare during the winter that we get a week of warm weather without some wind. How about that? Okay. I was checking the hay report, and be honest with you, there's nothing changed. The only thing I see is if you got a buddy that lives in Iowa where the drought's going on and you need to sell some hay, that's the only prices I've seen that has gone up. In Iowa, premium alfalfa is going from anywhere from $280 to $380 a ton. Good alfalfa is $170 to $193 a ton. And then grass hay in Missouri or Iowa, $200 to $340 in Iowa per ton for premium, $160 to $310 for good. And there's no D's at the end of any of this. This is not delivered. This is what they're getting per ton. And then in Missouri, they're getting $225 a ton for premium and $150 to $175. Other than that, there's nothing really changed in the last couple weeks for hay. But a good cold front would change that. So anyway, let's see here. I thought this was pretty interesting for hay guys. Sulfur is a key component of many plant compounds and processes. The nutrient is found in two amino acids that are used for protein synthesis. It's critical for production. Dan Lima with the Ohio State University Extension says legumes require additional sulfur for nitrogen fixation. For this reason, legumes are partially sensitive to sulfur deficiency, especially alfalfa, which is notably a heavy sulfur-using crop. Signs of sulfur deficiency include young leaves that are light green or yellow due to reduced protein. Sulfur is a secondary macronutrient because it's required at lower levels than the primary macronutrients, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. However, this does not mean it is any less essential to plants or livestock that consume them. Remember that all life requires sulfur, so if the dry forage is deficient, animals could also be deficient. Deficiencies can be detected through soil and forage tissue samples. Many labs have established a critical level of sulfur in soil as 15 parts per million. Since this is a low concentration, forage tissue sampling often is considered the more accurate testing method. Lehman notes an adequate concentration of sulfur in plant leaves is between 0.2 and 0.5%. And then if soil test results indicate a field is deficient, he suggests adjusting soil pH and addressing nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium needs prior to adding sulfur. Then use a forage tissue sample to determine how much sulfur needs to be applied and choose a fertilizer source. He also notes that soil in the eastern part of his state of Ohio historically has high levels of sulfur from coal energy production. In fact, acid rains from industrial pollution used to supply sulfur to soils in many parts of the country before the Clean Air Act was enacted in the 70s. Now commercial sulfur or manure must be applied. Yeah, somebody was telling me, you know, when we had all these trucks and tractors that didn't have all these applications of using tax fuel, you know, we used to have a lot of sulfur out here, but not anymore. Element sulfur can take several months to react because it needs to be oxidized by soil microbes before it can be taken up by plants. Sulfate, on the other hand, is readily available to forage. He also says ammonia sulfate and gypsum are two common fertilizer options, especially in soils with higher amounts of organic matter. Applying manure is the most cost-effective way to correct sulfur deficiencies, and Lima notes it will also provide various micronutrients to the soil.
He adds the manure is rich in organic sulfur, which can be converted to sulfate by soil microbes. If manure is not available, it's almost twice as, the cost to fertilize a field when sulfur using ammonium sulfate. He states, at this price, a forage analyst would make sense before making such a large investment. Furthermore, ammonium sulfate is not always available at your local co-op and would take an even greater effort to attain. No matter the source, ensuring sulfur levels are in check will promote a more robust stand of healthier forage. Sulfur rolls and protein synthesis, nitrogen fixation is too important to overlook with improper fertilization. Soil tests are cheap, everybody. Forage leaves tests are cheap, too. Just got mine back this morning. And my man, Andy, down there at the Wheeler Brothers at Cordell. So anyway, checking it out, see what I'm going to have to do. Well, let's go ahead and take a Stockman's Vet Clinic break. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
SEI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SEI Agritech 1400 South Randall in Elk City, with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. The new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And, well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers with managing livestock risk protection. LRP is the cheapest way to establish a floor price for your cattle while leaving the top side open. Policies are available for calves, stocker cattle, and feed yard cattle, with no upfront costs or margin calls. For LRP and crop insurance, contact Andy or Codell at the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Hold on to your ag investment at nightlatch.net.
He loves talking about farming and ranching.
Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to Today in Ag. Here's your ag weather update brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden for Mangum, Oklahoma. 66 degrees, dew points 41, humidity's 40. The winds are out of the east at 5 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 0.80 inches, 81 hundredths of an inch. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 45. Sunset at 6:04, mostly sunny, 69 degrees today. Tonight, 39 and clear. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 68 with northwest to south winds. So in other words, it's going to be swirling tomorrow. I'm taking it from this forecast, 2 to 12 miles an hour. How about that? Anyway, all right, let's see here. Need to mention it. The Roger Mills County All Breed. This is off the Jimmy's Bull and Female Sale calendar in the Penny News on page 4, down there in the bottom right hand. Roger Mills County All Breed, Cattlemen's All Breed Sale, February 3rd, 12:15. February the 10th, the Bradley 3 Ranch Bull and Female Sale at 12 o'clock out there right across the state line. And then the OK&T 83rd Annual Bull and Female Sale, February 21st at 1 o'clock. The Davis Angus Bull and Female Sale is March 2nd at 12:30. And then the Hobson Angus Inaugural Bull Sale is March 4th at 12 o'clock. And then the calendar is growing weekly. And it's bull season. It's exciting times around western Oklahoma and eastern, everywhere they sell bulls. Well, speaking of bulls, this is from Mark Z. Johnson, Oklahoma State University Extension Beef Cattle Breeding Specialist. What's a good bull worth in 2024? This spring buying season is here, and it's time to revisit the old question, the age-old question. The question has been asked forever, or at least as long as we've been breeding cattle, with the notion of trying to make the next generation better. In a classic and timeless question, it is an important question. At this time of the year, when many bulls are being marketed and we are planning ahead for spring breeding season, is it a question that is asked a lot? The answer. Here's the answer. I remember first hearing the answer nearly 40 years ago as a student at OSU. A good bull is worth the value of the five calves he sires. I heard that answer again many times over the years. Is it a good answer? Is it a good rule of thumb to follow? The problem is it doesn't exactly narrow down the range. And if we do a little cowboy math, this answer may in fact lead to more questions, such as, what is considered a good bull? For this discussion, qualifications to meet good bull status are a bull that sells with a registration paper, which includes the pedigree information, genetic values, including EPDs, and on, to be considered in the selection process. A bull that has passed a breeding soundness exam, the BSE, and selling with breeding soundness warranty terms. Some terms will vary. When are we marketing our calves? What is their value? According to the most recent Oklahoma market report, 521-pound weaned steer calves, large number ones, are worth about $296 a pound for a value of approximately $1,542 per head. Therefore, in my future marketing plan to sell winged steers, $1,542 times 5, $7,710 is the answer. 910-pound yearling steers, large number ones, are worth about $209 a pound for a value of $1,902 per head. Therefore, my future marketing plan is to sell yearling steers, $1,902 times 5, $95.10 is the answer. I bet some of you guys are out there just saying BS. Well, anyway, listen up. We're not done yet. 1,400-pound finished beef steers are worth $1.7250 per hundredweight live for a value of $2,415 each. Unless you're one like one of my listeners, he gets a $328 bonus on his. It's $2,415 each. Therefore, my future marketing plan to retain ownership through finishing and sell fed cattle on a live weight basis, 2,415 times 5, $12,075 is the answer. So in the current market, a good bull is worth somewhere between $7,710 and a little over $12,000 to a commercial cattle operation. Where exactly that range depends on your marketing plan and the marketing conditions at the time. Not an exact number because there are many variables to play. I know you guys are calming down now. One key point illustrated here is that the longer you own the offspring before marketing, the greater the value of the bull to your operation. Retained ownership gives you more time and opportunity to capture the value of your investment in genetics. It is noteworthy that we haven't considered the value added to replacement females if we select daughters as our next generation of cows. Bulls used to sire the next generation of cows have a greater long-term economic impact on the profit potential of your operation. I encourage cow-calf operations to consider their production system and marketing plan. Doing so should dictate where to apply selection pressure. Genetic values pay when you purchase bulls capable of improving genetic potentials for the specific trades that will translate into adding value at your intended marketing endpoint. Oh, let's see if anybody... Nobody's ranting on the text line yet. It's a pretty good concept. It ain't going to be exact like Mark says right here, right now. But you tell me, gentlemen, ladies, if you go out there and buy you a $2,000 bull, he's paid for pretty easy if you use the five calf number. First five calves out of him, he's paid for. It's just a run-of-the-mill $2,000 bull. I'm not saying he's a crappy bull. I'm just saying run-of-the-mill. And you go out there and you breed your cows that you've been building your herd up into that bull. And then you go out there and grab another group of cows that you have and put a $5,000 to $7,000 bull in there. And with good genetics, better genetics than the $2,000 bull you had, come back and see me in a couple of years and tell me which calves brought more money to you at the sale barn. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've done it myself. And I've sold some good bulls to some people. No, I didn't have papers and I didn't have EPDs, but I know darn good and well that they had good genetics. And the people who have bought bulls from me have said, man, my calf crop is better than it was last year. So anyway, and weather has a lot to do with that. Last year, my calves out here west of Elk were better than the year before. But the year before, we had a drought going on. Cows weren't putting out near as much milk as they was last year when we had good green grass. A lot of things can come into play on talking about that some. But don't be a tight person on your bulls. Buy you good genetic bulls. And we have some of the best bulls. Oklahoma and Texas and southern Kansas has some of the best bulls in the country. And I know there's good bulls up there in South Dakota, North Dakota, but I'm just telling you, spend money on a good bull and you will not regret it. And if you do, don't call me. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, let's see what else is happening in the ag world. We got a couple minutes left here. I want to teach you some language on reading on cattle markets. Observations, the USDA market news reporters provide a substantial market trends to give producers a marketing edge. Definitions of some of this is pretty cool. The USDA market news reporters use specific lingo to describe action or lack of action in cattle markets. Those narratives are preludes to hard data on cattle markets. Non-market participants may construe to the abundance of data as information overload, but member market participants gain valuable insight on potential price action from information from that market news, and that's part of the USDA's agricultural marketing service. So let's get into that. Receipts or in supply or offerings. A report lists the number of cattle sold for direct trade that confirms headcounts for sales, auctions, its receipts, or the number of cattle covered in the report. Reporters describe supply or offerings as light to moderate or heavy. Those terms are relative to typical value for the marketing years. Sometimes the reporters use the phrase light test and that means two field cattle being sold to give a solid feel for price direction. Trend. A trend describes how the current market differs from the last market period price with a sufficient volume available for comparison. What's up with demand? Demand is a desire or possessed cattle coupled with the willingness and ability to pay for them. That's the demand. So very good demand means offerings and supplies are rapidly absorbed, like today and yesterday and last Friday at the sale barn. Anyway, guys, we'll see you tomorrow. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. You guys have a great day, and God bless.